Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we need to be doing this show, and you all need to be listening, because there are toxic chemicals out there. They're all around us. They're in consumer products. They're even in our bodies. And many people, including myself, were born with toxic chemicals in our bodies because they've been ubiquitous in the world since the mid-1940s. So a lot of people are being affected by toxic chemicals and not even knowing it. And that's why I do this show, so that you can learn where there are toxic chemicals, what they're doing to you and your loved ones, and what you can do to be free of their harmful effects. That's the whole idea of being toxic free, is to be free from the harmful effects of toxic chemicals. Today we're going to be talking about cleaning products, and cleaning products that you can make right in your own home. And cleaning products are actually one of the first things that I recommend to people that you start with in your home. It's just like a basic thing, because cleaning products are so toxic that the labeling of cleaning products is governed by the Consumer Product Safety Commission under something called the Hazardous Substances Labeling Law. And you may have seen on the backs of cleaning products that they have certain words like toxic, highly toxic, extremely, danger, poison, warning, caution, skull and crossbones. And all of these are words that are required by law to be put on these products because they're so toxic. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, what those words mean and what kind of toxic chemicals are in cleaning products. We'll talk about that today. My guest today is Annie B. Bond, and I met her many years ago when her publisher asked me to write the foreword to her first book, Clean and Green. Now, Clean and Green, I still have my copy of Clean and Green sitting right here on my desk, and it's the one that Annie herself gave to me all those years ago with her autograph in it, and I still use this book. This is one of the books that I think that, even though there are other green cleaning books that have been written since, hers, I think, was the first. And it's still, I would say, one of those classic books that everybody needs to have on their shelf. She's also written a book called Better Basics for the Home, which has a lot, it's kind of an updated version that has a lot of cleaning formulas in it. And she really has, where I have spent the bulk of my time looking at what are less toxic products people can buy, Annie has spent her time researching and writing about what are the ways that you can do things at home to make things yourself. Hi, Annie. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, Deborah. Delighted to be here, as always. It's such a treat to be on your show. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Annie's been here several other times, and so after you listen to our show live here today, you could go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. You could just enter Annie Bond in the search box, and her other shows will come up, because all the shows that we do here are recorded and archived. So you can, even if you want to listen to today's show again, if you heard something interesting and want to go back and listen to it again, all you have to do is just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, look up the show, and you can listen to the archive. So how is it in upstate New York today?
Lovely, just beautiful. It has a touch of fall in the air, but nice, dry, cool, lovely day. Thank you. Very nice.
Well, you know, I think there's a touch of fall here, too, that even though we don't have leaves falling like you do, and it doesn't get as cold here in Florida, there's something about the angle of the sun when it gets to September. It's not so overhead and hot as it is in the middle of summer. And that's kind of how I tell that autumn's approaching here.
Well, it's true. The angle of the sun makes a big difference. Like in February here, I always know there's a shift because suddenly the sun is low. It shines in the windows more, and you know, it's just these little subtle things that tell us where we are and what we're doing. So
and what time it is.
Yeah, that's
where
right.
We are in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. I know that you've told us your story before on other shows, but let's just start with how did you get to be interested in this subject? And this is a little brief synopsis. And why did you pick cleaning to be the first subject that you researched and wrote about?
Well, especially because if there's anybody that hates to clean, it's me. So the irony of my writing a book on cleaning has never escaped people that know me. But I wanted to sort of comment, jump off on something you said about your research of products, and I tended to research the formulas. And I think I'm happy to say that my books are probably a little obsolete by now because of the fact that there's now a green product on the market for just about anything you would want to do, a healthy, non-toxic product for just about anything, I think. Whereas back when I started, when I wrote Cleaning Green in 1988 and 89, for example, that just wasn't the case. And so if you wanted to peel wax off a floor or something like that, you just had to dig into the folk formulas because there just wasn't to learn about what to do because I just wasn't finding enough products to cover everything. And so that was part of where I went in, and I say my books are obsolete, but a lot of us love the sort of DIY, you know, the whole do-it-yourself and back to basics kind of feeling, and there's a beautiful simplicity, too, I think, of just having a few ingredients in your kitchen to clean with, right? So there's that certainly tapped into a genuine interest of mine, but I, like you, came into this because I, unexpectedly into this field, I worked at a restaurant that had a gas leak and it sent 80 people to the hospital in 1980. And then I was waitressing, and as I was breathing the fumes in very deeply, and that was at that moment I got what I've been told was permanent central nervous system damage. And then our apartment building was exterminated with a pesticide that's been taken off the market because it's so neurotoxic. And so that 1-2 punch to my body put me in the hospital for 3 months. I was extremely sick. And I just, for ever grateful to a sister of mine who, could not believe what had happened to me and found, because I was fine and then I wasn't fine just on a dime, and she found one of the first environmental medicine doctors in the world at that time, right? So, because this was by then 1981, and so thank goodness for that, or I would have frankly been in and out of state mental hospitals my whole life because I had very central nervous system kind of reaction. So I am forever grateful, and I spent the next 8 years learning how to live in our society without chemicals, and you just don't know how many there are until you try to live without them. And I moved 10 times in 4 years and on and on. I mean, think you're fine, and then somebody half a mile away starts spraying their trees because for something, pesticide, and you happen to have your windows open, and it all blows in. You know, you just, it took a long time for me. But once I found a place to live that is sanctuary in that way for pesticide drift, especially for me, that's I'm most sensitive to, I have lived a normal life for 25 years. I mean, I just absolutely, whereas when I was really sick, I couldn't even go through New York City without an industrial gas mask. But learning how to live without chemicals has given my life, you know, completely transformed it, and I can lead a normal life. And as long as I come home to a healthy home, then I can be exposed to things. And so that's what I love to tell people that are even close to being as sick as I was, that just make your home a sanctuary, because then it'll help you recoup and recover regardless of what you sort of stumble into out there.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you mentioned all that and told that part of your story, because toxic chemicals can do bad things to your body, like happened to you and happened to me. But both of us are examples of people who have recovered and can, you know, go out and travel and eat in restaurants and go to the movies and do all those things that people do. But because we come back home to our non-toxic homes, then our bodies have the opportunity to recover from that exposure. What happens for most people is they go out into the world and they have no place to come home to that's safe. And that's why they end up with this overdose of body burden. We need to take a break, but we'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of Clean and Green and Better Basics for the Home. We'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of Clean and Green and Better Basics for the Home. Annie, before we start talking about what are some things that people can do at home to make their own cleaning products, let's just talk about the cleaning products we don't want them to use, the stuff that's in the supermarket. And even some of the stuff, I used to tell people that they could just go to a natural food store and buy anything, but that's not necessarily the case anymore. I like making my own myself, and I do. You know, when I first was dealing with this many, many years ago, as you said, Annie, there was not many commercial products to choose from, and so I just started making my own, and I just continued to do that because it's so easy, and that's what I became accustomed to. But I do try a lot of the new products. Let's talk about first the warning labels that are on the products. And do you want to make a comment about that?
Yeah, I would love to, because I think I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of the things I often give people as a wonderful starting point, because it's a little overwhelming to get started. And so
They're
called, I just sort of call them signal words, and they're on the bottles, as you mentioned. And so what I suggest is you go to your cleaning cupboard, wherever that may be, if you have one, or wherever you keep your cleaning products, and you go through the products and you remove everything that has the label, a signal word that's stronger than caution, and call your town, your community recycling center, see if and when they have a toxic waste pickup. Or I know a lot of people recommend you use something up, but I don't with toxic products.
I agree. I don't recommend that either. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, the reason that gives you a good starting point. That at that point you've removed solvents that are neurotoxic, that a lot of pesticides, things like that that are just something, products that, petroleum distillates that are flammable and neurotoxic and problematic in your house. So that leaves us in a range of products that with caution or that I'm not suggesting those are all safe, because they're not, but at least you've eliminated some of the real dangers. But detergents have cautions on them as well. They should, because a lot of children end up in poison control centers because they've drunk some detergent.
Yes.
Or something like that. And you know, detergents aren't natural materials. They're not found in nature. Our society makes sense that we use a lot of detergents, because for a lot of myriad of reasons, which we could talk about. I use them myself because I have hard water, and if I didn't, I'd end up with a lot of soap scum, things like that. But they're not like 100% safe. But I think that, wouldn't you agree that just sort of clearing everything out that's more dangerous than a caution is a good starting point, Deborah?
I think that that's an excellent starting point. And while the thing is that if you see one of those warning labels on the product, then that is at least, there's so many products out there that should have warning labels that don't. But in the area of cleaning products and pesticides, they have these warning labels on them. So if you see a warning label, don't use the product. Now, I agree with you, Annie, about the caution labels. And there's one in particular, one instance I want to make sure that everybody understands. One of the things that they put warning labels on is for an inhalant dust hazard. And so something could have a warning label on it for that and have no toxic chemicals at all, but it's just a dust hazard. And one of the examples is like Bonami polishing cleanser, one of my favorite least toxic things that I've been recommending for years. In fact, at the time period when Annie and I met, Bonami was one of the only cleaning products I could tell people to use. And
I remember.
Yeah. And I remember the very first book that I ever wrote It was called A Consumer Guide for the Chemically Sensitive. I self-published it. This was way back in 1982. And all throughout the book, I kept saying, use baking soda for this, use baking soda for that. And a friend of mine looked at it and he said, the title of this book should be Use Baking Soda for Everything. But the point I'm wanting to make here is that there may be a warning label, like on Bon Ami, where it says caution because of a dust hazard, but there's nothing in it that you need to be cautious about except breathing the dust as a particle. So if you see a caution, just take a look and see, is the caution there because it's a powder, or is it there because there's a slightly toxic chemical in it? And that's just something to distinguish.
Yeah, I would agree. And another product that I love, that I was just trying to find my box, but I don't want to be wandering around the house while I'm on the radio, so I won't do that. But it's washing soda, because it's actually very alkaline, and people get alarmed because the recommendation on the box is to wear gloves when you use it, and it's only because it's very alkaline. It doesn't really burn your hands badly it doesn't burn your hands, but it's sort of like being extra careful as to use.
Yes.
And I would think there's probably a caution on that box as well, because it's so alkaline, it also makes it such a wonderful, that's the product I found to peel the wax off the floors, for example.
Yeah.
So back, that was in my research in the 80s, we moved into one of our moving 10 times in 4 years on a apartment that had a scented wax on the kitchen floor, and I just absolutely had to get it off, and I ended up using a washing soda paste, very damp, and it just peeled the wax right off, and it was fantastic. But that became my solvent alternative, but it's sort of like a slight slippery slope, because you end up wanting to wear gloves or being told to wear gloves, but it doesn't, there are no toxic fumes. But anytime I want a solvent, or you normally, if a person would use a solvent, that's what I use, because it works so well.
So, I didn't know that it acted as a solvent.
Pardon
me? Probably said that. I didn't know it acted as a solvent, but you probably said that in one of your books, and I just forgot.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And so, however, you have to be careful if you use too much. Of course, it will peel things off, paint off the wall.
Unless you
want it to, but you could dilute it like a quarter of a cup to a gallon of water. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing, but it's amazing for like cleaning soot or heavy-duty engine oil spills or, you know, things like that that are the heavy-duty product cleaning. That's when I use washing soda, and I just love it for that.
Well, we need to take another break. I'm Deborah Lindat. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of Clean and Green and Better Basics for the Home, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindat, and my guest today is Annie B. Bond, author of Clean and Green and Better Basics for the Home. I want to tell you that on Clean and Green, there's a subtitle that says 485 ways to clean, polish, disinfect, deodorize, launder, remove stains, even wax your car without harming yourself or the environment. And Better Basics for the Home says 868 practical formulas, all-purpose household cleaners, body creams and lotions, laundry products, simple solutions for less toxic living. So either of these books, both of these books, just have, they're a tremendous treasure chest of information on how you can go about these simple tasks of daily life in a way that is not toxic. And a lot of these formulas you can make just with things that you already have in your kitchen. And so it's worth checking this out. Everybody should have both of these books. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. I've loved writing them too. I just, of all the work I've done in years, I mean, I think that was right up, the Better Basics of both books were right up there. That's some of my favorite things I ever did. So I love those formulas, and yeah, and testing every single one. And I had a checkered kitchen floor once, and I ended up, each check had a different cleaning system on it, you know, to test things. it was great.
Well, Annie, I don't think they're obsolete. I think that this is the way. I really think that we should be moving back towards taking responsibility ourselves to make the things that we have, because more and more the toxic chemicals are hidden in places that we don't even know about, that they're not on the labels. In fact, cleaning products as a class of products are not required by law to list their ingredients on the label. And that's the reason why they have these signal words of caution and danger.
Yeah, it's just absolutely horrifying. I mean, that's horrifying. It is really horrifying. And there's another aspect of this, which I think is really an important one, and that is the price of it. I was on a radio show in 1993 or something called Smart Money, and they asked me before I came on to compare the price of my formulas to going through the supermarket and buying the equivalent products. And so I religiously, very carefully did analyze this ounce by ounce comparatively. Mm-hmm. And so the price for buying just the basics for cleaning the house in the supermarket was $63. And for mine, ounce to for ounce, including a very expensive essential oil, which was tea tree oil, which at the time I think was $8 a bottle or something, it was $11. So the contrast in the price of it is dramatic in its own right. So that's really nice. And then I think that we just can't get across enough how the simplicity of it is just such a lovely way to have be part of your life.
Yes, I totally agree. Well, let's start. Tell us, like, what are the basic things that you use to clean your house? And then I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, I think that there's a really important, I have a story right now, right here. My daughter just moved into a new apartment. It's a new-to-her apartment with a couple friends, and they ended up getting a couch of theirs. They were recently out of college, you know, so there had been a couch that they had that was in somebody's basement, and they pulled it out and put it in this in their living room. And of course, it just reeked of mold and mildew. And so, I think that I could tell the story of my suggestions to her, which will give you the basics in a way, because it also something awful had been spilled on something. So, the first thing I suggested that she do is she take out her bottle of tea tree oil, which I know she had, and put a teaspoon of tea tree oil to a cup of water and spray the entire couch, because it's a broad-spectrum fungicide and the smell will lift in a few days and so will the mildew. And in fact, that really, really helped enormously. But then she had some stains on some carpets and some funny smells, and it was hard to know what was what. And so I want to talk a little bit about baking soda and vinegar, because a lot of people mix the two, and they're sort of a bubbling, and it's important to realize that when you get that bubbling, you're actually neutralizing the power of the other. So just going with straight vinegar is really good to have an acidic cleanser, and that kills a lot of bacteria, mold, germs, things like that. It's wonderful for that. The alkaline with the baking soda has a whole nother smell, odor, neutralization, and also alkaline minerals tend to go through gunk and eat it up and dissolve it and make it easy to clean. So that's why baking soda is great for cleaning the bottom of the oven, for example, if you make it wet enough and you use enough of it. So I suggested that we didn't know if some of the odors were alkaline or if they were acidic or whatever, but you would alternate baking soda or vinegar. So she started then by sprinkling baking soda and then to neutralize odors that were that were more acidic based, actually, and then she would clean that up and then vacuum really well, and then she would spray with vinegar. And for example, who knew? I found over the years I'm very sensitive to perfume, and vinegar is the best way for me to get rid of a perfume smell. So she had
glad you said that, because this is like one of my top questions on my blog is how do I get perfume out of whatever.
Yeah, and somebody had borrowed, I had infrared sauna in my house because I had a terrible case of Lyme disease, and that's back when they treated it with high heat, and after going to my doctor's office in my bathing suit in the middle of January, I just said, you know, I can't do this anymore. And actually, I was in the sauna in this high heat, and we had a fire alarm, and I had to go in the fire in the parking lot with in the heat in January in near upstate New York. So that was that for doing that. And so anyway, but somebody came to my house, used my sauna, and they had tons of perfume on it, and I could not get the smell out. Tried everything, and then I sprayed the whole thing with vinegar, and it within an hour or two, the smell was gone.
Excellent.
It was a great find. But that's why Deborah and I, to the audience here, are great resources, because we've spent years struggling with these odors.
Yes, exactly.
And things. And it's not always easy, like learning how to clean, you know, peel wax off a floor or get perfume out of a sauna. I mean, who knows, you know, so. But at any rate, I love vinegar now for, if you have germs you're worried about, you could spray straight vinegar on a bathroom doorknob. I mean, you know, there are things that work really well for that. My favorite recipe at all is...
Wait, before you tell us that, we need to take a break.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't want you to get started with the recipe, but we'll cover it after we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest is Annie Berthold Bond. Oh, I'm sorry, it's now Annie B. Bond, author of Clean and Green and Better Basics for the Home. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is my very dear and very longtime friend, Annie B. Bond. And we're talking about how we clean our houses, just a basic, fundamental thing. Annie and I have both been through our own trials with being exposed to toxic chemicals, and we've both recovered and lived normal lives. So we have a lot of experience with this. Okay, Annie, so this is...
Thanks, Deborah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. This is our last segment. So I think let's get down to the nitty-gritty of let's both talk about the basics of what we do to clean our houses. So, like, how do you scour your sink?
Okay, so I was going to start with my favorite bathtub cleaner, but let me just move to the sink. my bathtub cleaner would use for the sink too, but this is what I love to whiten my sink. It's a sort of a newer discovery, but it's sodium percarbonate, and Ecovere, for example, has a box for their laundry, whitener. It's a combination with hydrogen peroxide in it. It is an incredible whitener. So I'll fill the sinks with water, and I'll add a quarter of a cup or so of sodium percarbonate and let it set there for a while and an hour or two, and it just sparkles. But if you can't find it or that's a little too complicated, the best soft scrub that I know of is you pour about a half a cup of baking soda into a bowl, and you squirt in enough of a green dish detergent that liquid dish detergent into the bowl and stir it, or an all-purpose cleaner of soap liquid soap would be fine. And you stir it into a texture like frosting, and then you scoop it on a sponge and you scrub with that. And the thing I love about this is that it rinses incredibly well. So for someone who grew up back in the days when the scouring powders to clean the bathtub and you end up sitting in the grit because you could never really rinse it well enough, this is a fabulous product because it just rinses beautifully. It cleans well. I have people writing me from all over the world about this formula as being the best ever, and people have tried to monetize it and put it in packages and, you know, everything else. So but it's very simple, and it's the easiest thing, and so... I never don't have that around. It's also, as a heads up about that, it works really well too for cleaning stainless steel appliances, and you just have to rinse it, and then and if you can't get all of the residue off for stainless steel, you just spray it with a little bit of vinegar, and that'll neutralize the baking soda and wipe it all off in the end. So that's a wonderful product. So and then for cleaning the windows, for example, a lot of people went the wrong way in the early 90s thinking, because a lot of editors would say on radio, you know, just clean your windows with vinegar and that's all you need. And then a lot of people abandoned non-toxic cleaning because they did that and they got streaks. And the reason was simply because the residual wax and the cleaning in their window cleaner that they've been using for so many years had to be taken off first. After yes. that, the vinegar alone would have been perfect, but they need to add a little dab of detergent in a liquid or soap into the water and vinegar spray for the windows, and then they'll be fine from then on with just vinegar. But that's a good thing.
I use vinegar to clean my windows, but I dilute it half and half with water, and I use a soft cotton cloth, like a cotton rag, to clean the windows, because it's better than paper towels.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's lovely. And you wouldn't have had the residue problem. So, you know, it's only people that have the residue problem where they just need to start the first time with a little bit of soap or detergent in that. Washing soda is available in the laundry section of the supermarket, and it's a great, if you're sort of an all-purpose spray cleaner, if you put about a half a teaspoon of washing soda with really hot, to about a cup of really hot water in a spray bottle, and then a few squirts of a liquid soap or detergent, and shake it up, that's a great all-purpose cleaner, because the washing soda will take away some of the heavier dirt and stains, and I think it's a great product. You could try up to a teaspoon of washing soda, but the problem is that it will clog the sprayer to start, and so you just need not add too much. But what else? What would another basic thing?
Laundry.
Well. One thing to never do is to use the commercial dryer sheets or use any detergent that has a scent in it, because the chemicals in those products are absolutely sort of mind-boggling. And I did a whole research once on dryer sheets, and I couldn't believe how many people have become seriously ill from asthma, especially from using a lot of dryer sheets. The chemicals in them are really striking, and so I recommend use, if you want to soften your clothes, that kind of thing, you could add a half a cup of vinegar in your rinse water, but the key is really to go with unscented everything to start with.
Absolutely. In fact, we were talking before about taking everything out of your house with a warning label on it. I would strongly suggest that you take everything out of your house that's scented as well, unless it has a natural essential oil.
Absolutely. I mean, my daughter and I rented a small cabin for us at the cottage at Cape Cod this summer, and we walked in and we both almost keeled over because of the smell just from the laundry room, and I boxed everything up and put it out in an outer shed, and it took about a day for the fumes to go, but I mean, I don't know how people live with this. It was so powerful.
You know, yesterday I had a repairman come to my house, and he just reeked of perfume, and I realized that what it was the scent from the detergent on his clothes.
Yeah,
he wasn't wearing any scent, but he smelled like a girl because it was the detergent, you know?
It was the detergent, absolutely. It's unbelievably strong. And so I wholeheartedly agree about the, and a set of many chemically sensitive people can tolerate, many if not most maybe, can tolerate many of the pure essential oils. And so I don't hesitate to use those if needed for certain types of things, because they're very antibacterial and antifungal and antiseptic. And so sometime I will, and you could, if you want a scent, like I can put a few drops of lavender, essential oil of lavender on a cotton cloth and put it in a dryer sometimes if I want to sort of freshen up the smell of it. So there are many things you can do without having to resort to synthetic chemicals.
That's right. And in the beginning, when I first started learning about all of this, I thought, oh, scent is scent. But it isn't. What we're talking about as being harmful is the synthetic fragrances that are made from petroleum, from crude oil. And they're very, very different from the natural fragrances that are made by plants. And
your body knows it. Your body does know it.
Some people can't tolerate any of them if your body has been damaged by the synthetic ones. Some people can't tolerate the essential ones. But when I found out that I do fine with essential oils, it was just so wonderful to have those real fragrances as opposed to the artificial ones. Did you know that we can actually thank Coco Chanel for artificial fragrances?
Oh, really?
Yes, because that was just at the time in history when they started discovering that, I mean, scientists were playing around in the lab, and she happened to know, before Coco Chanel, all fragrances were essential oils. And but what happened was that women would put it on, and by the end of the evening, they couldn't smell it anymore. Or the men that they wanted to impress couldn't smell it anymore. And then Coco Chanel happened to be in a laboratory, and she saw this synthetic fragrance, and she smelled it and realized that it lasted. And she said to the chemist, please make me a... And what she wanted was a fragrance that was like not like anything in nature. She wanted something totally abstract. And so that's how we got the first perfume. Chanel number 5 was the formula number 5 in the laboratory. That's why it's called
Wow.
Chanel number 5. And from there, artificial scents started going throughout the industrial
world.
What
year was that? Do you have any idea?
18-something, I think, or the early 1900s. I don't remember.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, this is how these things happen. Anyway, we've got just about a minute left. Is there anything, any final words you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I would say to, just to do it. I mean, it's just amazing. Some people do it all at once. Some people do it step by step, but every babies sleep better. The house smells better. Everybody's more relaxed. It just makes a huge difference. It's more of a sanctuary at home, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So,
it is. I agree, and I think that I'd just like to close with a point that you started out with about having your home be your toxic-free sanctuary. Knowing that there's a place that you can go, where even though it might not be 100% toxic-free because air is still coming in from the outside, but there's so much that we can do in our homes that so significantly reduces the amount of toxic chemicals that our bodies are being exposed to, that it can literally turn your life around. Annie and I both had that experience of just working on the toxic exposure that we have in our homes and really doing nothing else, because at the time there was nothing else to do. And just taking that one step has restored our health and allowed us to continue to have good health. Just taking that step has allowed us to no longer be suffering from the toxic exposure. I'm Deborah Lynn Ladd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow.